Bruchem Abayim to the second and continuing series of Shiurim on Ha'amak Dova of the Netziv, the Netziv's commentary on the Chumash. In the first of these Shiurim, first of these lectures, I established or I revealed the hidden agenda of the Netziv in his commentary was none other based upon the fundamental truth of the text of the Chumash, which is the act of interpretation, or more precisely, the rules of hermeneutics, the natural rules of hermeneutics, or logical rules of hermeneutics, which are discovered by the interpreter in the act of interpretation. And this is the fundamental truth of the text of the Chumash itself. I want to go a little bit further, and if we go a little bit further in the Hakdama of the Netziv, we'll be able to understand this concept clearer. I understand that some people at the end of last week's Shia, even though they might think they understood it, most people are probably not convinced they understood it with all of its technical or detailed ramifications, but I think that the rest of the Hakdama with the specifics and detailed ramifications will make the idea much more settled in people's minds. Now, in probably the most famous part of the Hakdama of the Netziv, which is the Chelek Gimel of the Kidmas HaEmek, there the Netziv quotes a Gemara in the Dorim, Daf Lamed Ches, which says that which the Torah says in Parshas Hazino, right, the command given to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kisvu Lachem Es Hashira, right? That in fact, actually, Shira does not refer only to the Shira of Hazino, as Rashi explains, but rather the entire Torah is called a Shira. So, ask the Netziv, why is the Torah called a Shira? And the Netziv says that the Shira aspect of the Torah is actually part of the Teva of the Torah. Why is the Torah called a Shira? Says in the Netziv, he gives two distinctions between Shira, which is we call poetry, and between things which are ostensibly not Shira, we'll call them prose. The second distinction we're not going to actually go into in detail, because the Netziv says, in fact, he will not cover that in his commentary. But the first distinction says the Netziv, and I'm quoting the Netziv, the Bishir ena inyan mavur yofe. In other words, says the Netziv, in a poem, in the Shira, meaning is not clear. It's not explained clearly. It's not evident. Right? In contradistinction to prose. And says in the Netziv, it's Sorglas says Ha'aretz Minatzad. Now, what Ha'aretz Minatzad means, what he intends, we'll speak about that a little while later, but clear Ha'aretz Minatzad means that somehow a person has to find ways of understanding the text of the Shira, certainly the Shira of the Torah, which I would call Minatzad from the side indirectly. In other words, there's no direct meaning. There's a meaning, but the meaning has to, you have to come around from the side. It's called indirect. And what do we have to do? So in other words, in order to arrive at these Ha'aretz Minatzad, this indirect meaning, or the indirect ways of arriving at meaning, a person has to actually go back and try to understand what was intended. In other words, what was intended when the text says this, or the text says that. This cause, that cause. Right? And it says that it's this is not drush. This is not exegesis. But this is the nature of Shira. This is the nature of Shira. This is the nature of poetry. In other words, for the Sim, it's clear there's no immediate meaning of the text. But rather, a person has to somehow go behind the text, going back to the text, and try to understand what was intended when the text, what was meant when the text said this or the text said that. Now, I've many times contemplated how with I would try to explain this, you know, to a, you know, to a someone in the 21st century. So, actually, I came across, someone sent me a copy of a book by a literary scholar named Robert Alter, and in an introduction to a translation of the what you call the five books of Moses, he actually describes in literary language something which I feel that the Netziv is actually explaining here. Of course, the conclusions that he draws are far different than the Netziv, as we'll explain in B'yetzer Hashem. But nonetheless, I want to quote from him. The Netziv said, the Alter says, Robert Alter says that there's something which is called philology. Philology means meaning. Philology is the art or the process of extracting meaning from a text, from any type of a literary text. So Alter says, and I'm reading from the introduction in Roman numerals 8, page Roman numeral 8, for the philologist, the great goal is the achievement of clarity. It's scarce and necessary to say that in all sorts of important but also deliberate ways, clarity is dispensable in a translator's wrestling with the original text. Okay? However, he says, but philological clarity literal text can quickly turn into too much of a good thing. Of course, he's speaking about translations. Literature in general, and the narrative prose of the Hebrew Bible in particular, cultivate certain profound and haunting enigmas, delights in leaving its audiences guessing about motives and connections, and above all, loves to set ambiguities of word choice and image against one another in an endless interplay that resists neat resolution. In polar contrast, the impulse of philologists is, here in a barbarous term nicely catches the tenor of the activity, to disambiguate the terms of the text. The general result when applied to translation is to reduce, simplify, and denature the Bible. So much for Rothschild. In other words, what Alter is saying is that to translate the Chumash is not just to communicate the meaning, because there isn't an immediate meaning. There isn't a clarity of meaning, right? And then he goes on to trash all translations, by the way, not only Rothschild. And he goes on and says here on page Roman numeral number 9, modern translations, in their zeal to uncover the meanings of the biblical text for the instruction of a modern readership, meaning people who don't want to think too much, right, frequently lose sight of how the text intimates its meanings. The distinctive, artfully deployed features of ancient Hebrew prose and poetry are the instruments for the articulation of all meaning, message, insight, and vision. I think Alter says, I mean, you know, lahavdil elef havdalos, but we have, I guess, Moshe and Bilam. But in any case, the point over here is that I think that this is what the Netziv is saying. The Netziv is saying is that, in other words, there's no direct meaning of the text. There's no direct meaning of the text. But, in other words, and that's what is the text is called poetry, Shila. Shila means is that a person has to look at the details, and from somehow studying the details of the text and trying to uncover the intention behind the details, can a person arrive at a certain type of meaning of the text. But in other words, there's more to the text than just what you would call, right, meaning, or one type of a meaning. That's what the Netziv is saying. And it's very interesting is that this notion here goes back to what we spoke about in the first shiur, and actually goes back to actually what I spoke about, the hidden agenda of the Netziv. Because Alter is speaking about that too. Alter is saying is that why do all translations or translations that he knows about, why in fact are they just concerned with what's called a clear meaning of the text, and therefore they lose in translation all the nuances and subtleties of language, right? Which add to the complexity and the depth of the text. The answer is because, I mean, he's the author's saying they're trying to communicate to a modern readership. I would say is that this one is the same. Most people who understand the Chumash, right, expect something to mean something. They want to get it. They want a message. They want what the text says. They don't want to. In other words, there has to be a clarity of meaning. If in fact meaning has to be uncovered through a process, right? Now, what do we mean meaning uncovered by a process? What do you mean being covered by a process? I mean, I can think hard about something, and I can, in fact, come up with the meaning. I mean, many of the traditional mefoshim, the Ibn Ezra, you know, work hard, but at the end they come up with a meaning. What is the chiddush? What is the novel notion of the Netziv? What I want to say is, and this is really what I want to relate to the first share I gave, is that meaning in the Netziv is inseparable from the process of interpretation. In other words, in the Netziv, the text itself is not only something which means something, but the text itself is also a commentary. In other words, what the Tziv wants to say is, I think this is really what poetry is, what is, when the Tziv speaks about the kavana, the intention between, you know, behind every chos, every line, right? What the Tziv means is, the text is coming to interpret the intention of Kivyochol, the author. In other words, the text is not something with a specific meaning. The text is also, in a certain sense, a commentary on an idea. Or the right? So what? So in other words, when a person looks for meaning in prose, there aren't two levels. There's just the person speaking to me through the medium of the text. The shira of the Torah is that the text itself is a commentary. And because of this, it's only by understanding how the text is commenting upon the idea, how the text is expressing the idea, can I arrive at meaning. So there isn't a direct meaning of the text. There's only an understanding of the commentary on the text on something else. Of course, we can speak about, you know, the Torah, which is Levon al Shchoira, etc., etc., but I think here, we have here, this Yisoid of the Netziv. Most people who delineated boundary at Har Sinai, was a little bit further back, are looking for a clarity of meaning. And in fact, actually, that's something that you get through translation. However, the true meaning, the true understanding of Shira, can only come with understanding that the text itself is in fact a commentary. And therefore it's the process of commentary which evokes meaning. Now, when we get to this, we have something very, very interesting. Alter, in his introduction, is coming to tell us why this makes translations very, very difficult. Because a person, you know, when he thinks translation means conveying a meaning, loses the text. Now, Alter feels, I guess, that his translation is the better of all translations. I personally disagree, with all due respect. But I think here that the Tziv is going to go on and explain that in fact, actually, why was the Torah translated? We know that there was a Tzivui, the Torah of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, of Moshe Rabbeinu to Yeshua, to translate the Torah of Yeshivim Lashon, because in fact, the Torah Shebe'al Peh was only given to the Jewish people, the Klal Yisrael. Translation of the Torah is an abandonment of the Shira nature of the text, and is concerned only with what's called philology, with meaning. And therefore, the Goyim, the relationship of the Gentile, the Goy, to the Torah Shebe'al Peh, is in fact one of philology, one of meaning, and therefore can be done in translation, l'chadchila. It's interesting that the Masechet Sofim says that the day that they translated the Torah into Yavanis was kosher, Hayom Kecheta Egel, right? And why kosher Kecheta Egel? It's just like the Beis Halevi explains that the original Torah which revealed, the Torah Shel Peh, was part of the Torah Shel Bekhtav. That means interpretation and text were one and the same. When a person translates something into another language, into Greek, into Yavanis, then in fact, actually the person loses this oral, interpretive aspect of the text itself. He's left only with a one-dimensional text, which is meaning. And in fact, actually, that's why it was Kosh Olam Kechayta Egel. Right? The fact that the Gemara in Tessin Megillah explains about the Shuv Mesekein got together and translated her into Yavanis, and Sech Seferim says there were two Maisim, there was Shuv Maisim, Sech Seferim says, and it just comes to tell you that, you know, for most people, it's enough to get meaning. And that's what the Tiv is speaking about, the people who stood at Har Sinai, incommensurable with their level of understanding. But nonetheless, the true interpretation and understanding of the Torah has to take into account that the Torah itself is a commentary. The Torah itself is an act of commentary and hermeneutics. Now, what's interesting is the Netziv goes along and speaks about that in order to understand, let's say, for example, any type of a literary text, a person has to, in a certain sense, understand the background of the text. Okay? And that's what the Tziv says. Umus kal oid, says the Tziv, fishteitzach, to be understood. The Mishia Dei Batuva Inyan Shevi Ledei Melitza Zush, is Chabalav. If a person understands the background, that which brings about the text itself, Motik lo or loshin shal Hashiv, Duta Gabe Yesu Leisha Inu Yedir Mitchunas HaInyan. In other words, certainly understanding the background of the text helps a person to understand, right, the text when the text is a shira. Now, goes on the Tziv and says something else too. Umus kal oit, and Tziv says v'shneitzach. She'ein odim yochel amir al dikta dvar Hashem im lo shebachavin la'ezit dvar halach o musa gona abba b'kabos divin chazal. A person can never really come to truth in understanding the Torah unless a person, right, is bechaven, right, comes to the conclusion of some halacha or kabbalah or musa in divrei chazal. I mean, what does chazal have to do with anything here? I want to claim, and the Tziv is not saying here that, you know, a person can only learn chumash al pi chazal in a simplistic understanding of that. What the Tziv is coming to say here, if we actually, the two sentences actually appear one after the other, and it says v'shteitzach, to be understood. What the Tziv is saying here, my opinion is that Chazal have created or constitute what you would call the zitzen leben of the Chumash. What does this leben mean? Zitzen leben is a term which actually was used by biblical scholars, Lahavdil, that in order to understand a text, one has to understand the context in which, right, which produced the text. In other words, if you have a certain text, not necessarily from the Bible, a text which was, let's say it began as an oral tradition, and then becomes a text, a person has to understand the context, the sociological, the cultural context within which that statement was produced. And I think this idea was used in never scholarship in the previous century. What the Tziv is coming to tell us is that the zitzen leben of the Chumash is none other than Chazal. In other words, it's not Chazal's interpretation, but Chazal present the context within which the Chumash has to be understood. Now, there are, in fact, many examples in the Amud Dava in which the Tziv sheds incredible light on, in fact, Pesukim in the Chumash, right? By placing them in the context of Chazal. And one place where he speaks about this, I think maybe we'll elaborate upon this in Mitzvah Shem in the next Shia, is in Pashas Chukas, in Bamidbar. And there the Torah speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu Vakos HaSela, Moshe Rabbeinu hitting the cellar, hitting the rock. And the question is, right, this is one of the most difficult events to understand in the Chumash. What exactly was the chet? The Netziv, interestingly enough, has a very, very beautiful understanding of the chet, and the Netziv uses in his understanding of the chet what he calls Minag Yisrael, the custom of the Jewish people, as they were noyeg, as they conduct themselves, doing what's called a tainus. And the Tziv based himself on a series of Mishnayos in Maseches Tainus. This is in the Tziv in Bamidbar, Perachav, Pasuk Ches. I'm not going to go into this in detail, but interesting enough is that within the context of the way Chazal tell us that one conducts, that people are supposed to conduct themselves in a tainus of Atzeres Geshamim when there's no rain, that context the Netziv uses to establish exactly what the chait of Moshe Rabbeinu was. Now, what's interesting enough is that if you look at the Mishnayos in Maseches Tainus in Perek Beis, you'll see that the Mishnayos are very interesting enough that they're not telling me didim. They're saying they begin with Ketzan in Perek Beis. How are people noyeg during the time of a tainus? Meaning that the Mishnayos are not coming to reveal to me a necessarily a halacha, but coming to communicate to me a tradition of hanhaga during the tainus. The Netziv, with his tremendous insight into Chazal and their Lashon, understood that if in fact Mishnayos are coming to communicate how people know in tainus, this must have been what? A very old tradition. In fact, Nani was an old tradition. L'chaya, this is a tradition that one can place at the very basis of the Teresh Re'apeh, Devi L'chumash. Therefore, in Parshas Chukas, when the people are thirsty, they're dying from thirst. So the Netziv understood that given the Zitzin Leiben of Chazal, as they express through the Hanhaga in Titus, as expressed in the Mishnayos, the Netziv understood that this was the key to understanding the Zitz and Leben of the Psukim of the Chumash, and by doing this, the Netziv is actually able to elucidate a very beautiful understanding of the Chait of Moshe Rabbeinu, which Yitzhak Shem will speak about. I don't know if we'll get there, but you should look yourself and see this beautiful understanding of the Chait of Moshe Rabbeinu. In any case, this is what the Tziv is coming to tell us. The Tziv is coming to tell us clearly here that the context of understanding the Chumash is the context of Chazal. In this way, the Netziv establishes is that the only tradition, the only parameters one could, in which one could truly understand the Zitzin Leben, which in turn elucidate and illuminate the intention behind the text of the Torah, is not only that of Chazal. So, in other words, what the Netziv establishes is that Chazal is, in fact, the Torah Shebichsav. One cannot understand the Torah Shebichsav, right, independent of Chazal. It has nothing to do with rabbinical authority. It has to do with the very nature of the text itself. So, for the Netziv, when the Netziv says a person can never be oimed on the pshat, on the dict of Devar Hashem, unless he's bechaven to a Devar Halacha or Kabbalah Musaf Chazal, he means it literally. The context of the Chumash is the context of Chazal. And by so doing, a person could understand the Torah clearly as a Shira, where the text itself is an interpretation of a setting of events in relationship with Kodesh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael. Okay, I think we're going to stop over here because I think the battery is coming to an end. And in Mir Tashem, we will continue next week from an undisclosed place in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh. Have a nice week and be well.